may sound like a little bit of a review, but I'm going to add a few points that we need to cover so I believe our understanding of faith and trust can come full circle. We've been reading from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'm reading from that again tonight. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. There are times in our lives in which we may seem to be facing a dead end. We have struggles, and you say, Pastor, you talk a lot about struggles, and you talk a lot of, that's because we live in a world that's sinful. And more of us, more often, Brother Derek, we have struggles than we have smooth sailing. There's always something that's coming up. There's always something we have to deal with. We have struggles financially, and we have struggles perhaps emotionally. We have struggles in our relationships. But we should keep on trusting in God and moving forward in faith, even when we can't always see what the next step is going to be. This is where the tough side of faith comes in. I read a book a number of years ago, and I believe it was written by a lady named Stormy O'Martin, and it was, the title of the book was Just Enough Light for the Step I'm On. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we may have a lot of faith and we may have a lot of trust in God, but God only gives us just enough light for the step that we're on. We can't see anything above and beyond that next step. And that's one of those things, if I can just say, frustrates me sometimes with God. I'm not here complaining about God. I'm just talking about sometimes the way God works frustrates me because I don't always like that. Some of you don't always like that. You're just being very polite tonight. So we trust God. We must trust that God will make a way. God's plan becomes more understandable to us as we begin to head down the path that he sets before us. We are all following after Jesus Christ. We are all following after him. But understanding, listen to me, understanding is not a requirement for us to start down that path. Sometimes we feel like, I have to know God. How many of you have ever told this to God? When God has called you to do something and you're stepping out in faith, you're trusting God, but you're saying, God, before I commit to this, I want to understand what I'm getting into. You ever have a conversation like that with God? I've had many of conversations like that with God, and sometimes God just doesn't answer me. You know, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He's not obligated to tell us everything he's going to do in our lives. We read in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun. I like this. Shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Right now, it may feel like in your life that there's not enough light to see even one step in front of you. But when you trust God for the road ahead, he will make a way one step at a time. Then one day, we will all stand in the fullness of eternity. And I believe that God is going to, perhaps one of those neat things about heaven is we are going to be able to take and maybe see our life in a big, complete, full picture and be able to see all the reasons why things worked out or didn't work out at certain points in our life. And then we will see God's purpose behind the path that he has specifically chosen for you and I. Proverbs 3:5, as we read, what Proverbs 3:5 and 6 tells us is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I've said this, stop trying to figure it out for yourself. In all your ways, submit to him. We don't like to do that. We struggle with submission. And he will make your path straight. Now, that sounds really good. That's a comforting scripture. But it's not as easy to live it sometimes as it is to just quickly read it. We usually want to trust in ourselves and what we understand about the situation. You may be in a situation tonight, and maybe you've had this conversation with God in the last week, but God, you don't understand. You don't. God is like looking down and like, what do you mean I don't understand? I saw this coming before you did. I saw this coming before you were even born. I knew this was going to be happening. We want to trust in ourselves and what we understand about the situation, and we don't want to submit to anyone. We want to go our own way, and we especially want it to be on our timetable. Can I get an amen from a few of the elders here that know exactly what I'm talking about? We want it to be, we want to do it our way, and we want to do it on our timetable, but we want God to do all the heavy lifting, don't we? But you see, we have to understand something. There's a tough side of faith. We have to be patient, and we have to understand that God knows exactly what he's doing. Yes, even in the mess that you are in right now, God knows what he's doing. He knows what's best for you, and you can trust him because God is good all the time. God is good. He knows what's best. You may not be able to see the end results, but God can. All those problems, all those difficulties, all those heartaches, all those delays, all the things that make us ask why, will one day become so very clear in the light of God's love. But for now, for here, for right now, for this moment, we are learning to trust in God. So go ahead, encourage you tonight. Take the next step in your life, whatever that may be. And lean on God's wisdom and lean on God's promises. Keep heading down the path he's laid out for you, and he will keep making a way. As we head down that path, one of the tough sides of faith is we have to understand that there will be adversity. There's going to be adversity. God may call you into a ministry. He may call you into missions. He may call you into maybe a pastoral role. He may call you into Sunday school or music or whatever ministry he may be calling you into. Don't be surprised when you step out in faith and you trust God that adversity comes your way, because this is the tough side of faith. We're going to experience problems in life. You'll have times when your world is tossed upside down and everything is shaking and you don't know which way is up. I've had my share of those moments in life. And I just want to tell you that these times aren't a maybe it might happen to you. Right, Sister Moran? They're guaranteed to happen to you. We look at life and we expect sometimes, we have these expectations. Jesus said, listen, we shouldn't be surprised by adversity. We read in the message in John 16:33, he puts it like this: I told you all this so that trusting me, you can be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I have conquered the world. This is Jesus telling us that, you know what? You live in a godless world, and you are going to have difficulties. He's saying shakeups, tough times, getting beat up sometimes spiritually are a normal part of the life in a broken world. You see, we have to understand everything in heaven is perfect. But on earth, everything on earth, Brother Millen, is broken. Why is that? Anybody want to take a guess at why everything here on earth is broken? It's because of sin. Every relationship is broken. You talk to people. I talk to so many people over the course of the week and phone calls, and every relationship, every person. There's not anyone here that is 100% whole tonight. We all have things that we deal with, the economy. Contrary to what those little cards you get in the mail tell you, economy is not perfect. Inflation is not at zero. Everything is broken. Even the weather. Even the weather is broken. Because everything on earth as a result of sin is broken. And we cannot expect, yes, we may be filled with the Holy Spirit. We may be baptized in the name of Jesus. We may repent of our sins every day. But we live in a broken world, and we cannot expect this world to be perfect. In fact, when something bad happens in our lives, instead of saying, why me? We could just as well say, why not me? I live here on this earth. But no matter what adversity that we face, we know that Jesus Christ is in control when he told us to take heed, take heart. I have conquered. I came here. I lived here. I conquered this. And we can trust him, and we can rest in that simple truth. Romans 8:28 shares the same truth. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Does that mean that even the worst things, yes, even your own sins, yes, God can turn a crucifixion into a resurrection. He can bring good out of bad. Bishop has taught us this for years, that Christianity is the only religion that teaches and believes that out of every bad thing can come something good. It's because we're basing that upon Scripture. And because of that, we can respond with acceptance and hope rather than be a surprise and be in despair, be torn up, be destroyed. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 4:12-13, Peter writes and he says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. I like how he put that. Don't be surprised as if this was something strange. This is normal, folks. That's what he's saying. Instead, be very glad. Now, that's hard sometimes when you get to the end of the month and your funds ran out 2 weeks earlier and you're struggling to take and put food on the table, or maybe you're having a rough go at your job and all things are all just coming apart, and He says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. You see, we want to be partners with Christ in his victories, don't we? We hear that all the time. I hear that. I've heard that preached my whole life about being a victor with Christ. His train fills the temple. He's got so many victories. He's never lost the battle. We love that when we partner in Christ in his victories. That's a little tough, though. That's the tough side of faith. That's the tough side of trust. When we have to partner with Christ in his sufferings so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory. We're going to see this someday. We're going to be able to see the full glory of our God as it is revealed to the entire world. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day so that we will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all of the world. So when we look at this, yes, don't be surprised by adversity. But also, according to what we just read in 1 Peter, Peter is saying something to us that we don't always like. It's a bitter pill to swallow sometimes. And that is, sometimes God uses adversities to refine us. That is rough. That is tough. That is a part of faith and a part of trust, where our faith and our trust begins to wane because we struggle with this. You see, any time our world is shaken up, we need to look for how God is at work in the situation. I look at all of the weather, the issues going on in our weather, from not just here in America. We look at the hurricanes in our southern portions of our states, and the wildfires and stuff burning out west and up in Canada and such. But you look what's going on in Europe and in France and some of the Middle East countries, the flooding, the storms that are hitting in the northern Sahara Desert, where they haven't had rain for decades, and they're flooding. Parts of the deserts are flooding. And we look at that. But you see, any time our world is shaken up, no matter if it's weather patterns or no matter if it's political, no matter what it may be, we need to look for how God is at work in this situation. God has all of this under control. He wants to bring about good. And you say, well, how can something good come out of it? Because Scripture teaches us that even out of bad things, he teaches us how to be unshakable. God wants his church in these last days not to be swept up by every little doctrine and every little trend and everything that comes its way. God wants his church to be unshakable. He wants his church to be a rock solid body, something that people can lean and depend upon. And God often uses the shake-up times in our lives to refine us and to mold us more closely to his image. You see, we think so many times, we think, well, God, I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. I'm doing my best. I'm praying and I'm fasting. When pastor asks me to pray and fast, and I read my Bible and I memorize scriptures and we go through all of these things. But the bottom line is we live in a world of sin. And sin rubs off on us. It affects our attitudes, and it affects how we treat one another, and And God is seeking to shake up times in our lives to refine us and mold us. He wants to show us any of those wrong motives or misconceptions or any flaws in our thinking process that may be keeping us from growing deeper in our faith. God says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17:10, he says, I am the Lord. Examine the mind. I test the heart to give each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. God examines our motives because the why is always more important than the what. You see, God values integrity over image. The world values image over integrity. You see, we look at Israel, and most of us know the story of Israel. They wandered around in the desert for how many years? How many? 40 years. Anybody want to take a shot at why they wandered for 40 years? Does the 40 have a significance anywhere in this? Anybody? Why was it 40 years? For 40 years. And they kept wandering. And God kept giving them a test. And they kept flunking their test. And God knew it was going to take them 40 years of testing before they were ready to go in to the promised land. And sometimes in our lives, we wonder why we can't get there. This is the rough side of faith. We wonder why we can't get there. God, I've been working at this for 20 years of my life, God. When am I going to see a breakthrough? Brother Millen, when you pass that test, I'm not talking to Brother Carey personally, but when we pass that test, when are we going to see revival like God has promised revival? When we pass the test. You see, they were in the desert that long because God kept testing them and showing them over and over and over again that their faith was insufficient. If you don't have the faith to believe for me in the desert, how can you have a faith to believe in me when you're facing walled cities like Jericho? Think about that. So after 40 years, God gave them a number of tests. And every time they failed, and it's like every time they failed, it's so God's just saying, okay, let's just take another trip to Moab. Let's just wander around Mount Nebo one or two more times. Let's just spend another year or so out here in the desert. And maybe next time this test comes full circle, you will get it. And you may be here tonight seeming to be stuck in a troubled circle. And if you find yourself in that kind of situation, you need to ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to tell me here? What am I missing in this? And sometimes God will take us into the desert just to see if we trust him. What matters in these desert times in our lives is not how much you feel God's presence, but how do you walk? How do you live according to his word? Because there have been times in my life where I haven't always felt God's presence. I've struggled. And it's those times where God is looking not to see how you respond emotionally as much as he wants to know what's inside of you. How are you responding? How do you walk according to my word, even when you don't feel that he's with you? The Bible compares problems to a refining fire. When you look at the refining process, anything that is refined has to go through fire, has to have heat applied to it. So when you look at gold and silver, these are tested by fire. You have to put fire. I went on YouTube and I looked up how they purify gold, and I knew the process, but I didn't realize that there was as much involvement with it. They talk about gold being 99.99% pure and it's worth X amount of dollars per ounce. But a lot of gold that we have in jewelry and things like that, it's not 99.99% pure. It's sometimes barely over the 50% mark, and you have to take and you have to heat it up. You have to melt it down. And all those impurities have to be skimmed off the top and discarded. Proverbs 17:3 says, gold and silver are tested by fire, but a person's heart, what goes on in here, what goes on up here, is tested by the Lord. And God tests us to see if we believe what we claim. It's easy to pick up some of those cards out there and to invite someone special this week and take it to the restaurant and leave it on the table, invite someone to church, and then go out in the parking lot and blow your cool because somebody parked so close to you can't get inside your car. You see, God tests us continually to see if we actually believe what we claim. When the heat is on, do we turn away? Do we run away from God when troubles come our way? When the pressures of life begins to squeeze into us and we sometimes struggle to breathe and we say, God, I can't do this. When the pressure's on, do we turn away from God? Do we get angry with God? Do we complain to God? Or do we run towards God? Do we turn towards God? Do we get angry or do we yield? We have to ask ourselves, are we totally committed to God even when the pressures of life is at its strongest? When your life is shaken, we have to remember something. God wants what is best for us. He wants what is best for you. The message is a paraphrase, basically, and God tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, after Jeremiah had just gone through, read the book of Jeremiah. It's a fascinating book. He'd gone through all kinds of problems, and it was his life was just a disaster. And Jeremiah's complaining, and he's been ridiculed, and he's been publicly ridiculed. And God says, "I know what I'm doing." You ever ask God, "What are you doing, God? What are you doing?" You ever have that conversation with God? God sometimes he just says, "I'm not even going to answer that level of ignorance." But then sometimes God's like, as he told Jeremiah, "Hey, wait a minute. I know what I'm doing. You're asking me, do you know what you're doing? Yes, I know exactly what I'm doing. Now get over there and shut up." He He says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. I've been working on this, Jeremiah, for years. Plans to take care of you before you were even born, before you were conceived, before your parents even thought about getting together, before your parents were even born. I had plans for you, Jeremiah, not to abandon you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to tear you down. I'm not here to destroy you. But my plans to give you the future, a future that you can hope for. So we have to understand something tonight. So God uses adversity, but God uses our problems. And this is one of the roughest sides of faith that we have to learn, that sometimes God uses our problems to correct us. This is such a hard lesson to learn sometimes, folks. Hebrews 12, 8 and 10 and 11 tell us, and I'm going to kind of, this is a revised version of this, but it says, God corrects all of his children. God corrects all of his children. You're not anything special. You're not one of those that God's like, oh, they're just the perfect child. I'm going to ask you parents here, how many of you have perfect children? How many of you growing up had perfect siblings? No, God corrects all of his children, and if he doesn't correct you, then you don't really belong to him. God corrects us for our own good because he wants us to be holy as he is holy. It is never fun to be corrected. In fact, at the time, it is always painful. But if we learn to obey by being corrected, we will do right and live in peace. We have to understand something when it comes to this. God allows adversity into our lives. God sees how we respond to that adversity, and then God uses that very adversity to correct us. Now, how rotten is that? Think about it. Am I being too plain here tonight? This is a tough side of faith. This is a tough side of trusting in God. But you see, we have to understand something. God isn't thinking on the same level we're thinking. We're thinking through our fleshly minds. Very seldom do we think through our spiritual minds when we're not thinking right. But correction is essential for our growth process. We have to have correction if we want to grow. I want to tell you, my father's not here. He's probably not watching this tonight. He's in East Texas visiting family. But I benefited much from correction as I grew up. We had a spot reserved on Milwaukee Street for the front row here, and that was for John, Roy, and Steve. Now, I don't know why Dad never called any of the other kids that misbehaved to the front. It was always us. But we knew one thing, that once he called us down, and he could do it without skipping a beat, he was so precise, and he had refined this so well, he could be preaching about the day of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost falling, and John, Roy, and Steve get up here on the front row, and Peter stood. He had it. He never missed a beat. And when he called our names off, I could feel that heat starting inside my collar and going up. And I could feel a cold, I don't know what you would even call it, settle over me. And I knew that when we got home, we were getting a spanking. I benefited much. You benefit today much from the correction as I grew up. Correction is a benefit. You see, it's how we learn to talk. It's how we learn to walk. It's how we learn to eat. It's how we learn to bathe ourselves. It's how we learn to read. It's how we learn to write. It's how we learn to ride a bike and everything else in this life. We learn everything through correction. And a parent who doesn't correct their children doesn't love them, according to Hebrews 12. And sometimes God shakes things up in our lives, not just to refine us, but sometimes God shakes things up in our lives to correct us. Now, this is the tough side of faith. But just like a loving earthly parent, God wants us to understand that when we are off the path, He will sometimes nudge us, and if we don't respond to the nudge, He will nudge us a little more, and if we continue to ignore that nudge, He will continue to apply pressure into our lives until we get back on the right path. And His correction proves that we are part of His family. How do I know I'm a child of God? Because when I do dumb stuff, He corrects me. If God never corrected us for anything we did foolish, wouldn't you begin to wonder? Wouldn't you think, I can do this and No. His correction proves we're part of the faith. Look at Israel. Israel is such a perfect example. They'd fall into idolatry, not just a little bit, but deep idolatry. And God essentially said to them, I'm going to cure you of your addiction. I'm going to fix this once and for all, Brother Millen. Thank you for sitting where you're at tonight. He sits there every night, every service, by the way, in case some of you were wondering. God says, I want to cure you of that addiction. So what did he do? He had them conquered by the Babylonians and hauled off to Babylon for 70 years. God says, I'm going to remove a generation. I'm going to take a generation out from underneath you as a nation, and you are going to get over your addiction to idolatry. After 70 years, after they finally started to listen to God, we never find Israel that they reverted back to idolatry ever again. So why does God shake things up? Because He wants to help us become unshakable. Hebrews 12:27, so that only unshakable things will remain. We often change only when the pain of staying the same exceeds the fear of change. Sometimes God has to lay us flat on our backs before we will look up to Him. And some lessons are only learned through correction after failure or adversity. Job writes in his book, Job 5, verses 15, 17 and 18. So what a blessing when God steps in and corrects you. So what a blessing. What a blessing this is when God steps in and corrects you. Mind you, don't despise the discipline of Almighty God. True, He wounds, but He also dresses the wound. And the same hand that hurts you heals you. You see, we often go through difficulties to sift out those temporary things in our lives and keeping only what will last forever. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are just. When God corrects us, ask him. If you know God is correcting you, you know you're in God's spotlight. Ask him, what do I need to learn so I can keep growing? See, we have to understand something. The love of our Savior is unconditional, and he promises to be with us forever. He's the unshakable foundation who will help us become unshakable. So we have to understand something, and I'm going to be closing here in a few minutes. We must understand that pain is part of the process to spiritual maturity. Brother Bronker, if we want to grow up in God, we got to learn how to deal with pain. We got to learn how to deal with hurt. God wants to use everything. Everything. Even the bad things in our lives to bring about good. To thrive rather than survive in our hostile culture that we live in today. We need to see how God can turn our trials into triumphs. And we need to see how God is using the things that shake us to make us unshakable. And we have to understand something, that pain is the high cost of growth. We want to know God, but maturity doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen overnight. We want it to happen so fast. It doesn't only happen in the good times. You see, we want the product without the process, but there's no path to spiritual maturity without pain involved in it. But the good thing is, the very things that discourage us are the very things that God so often uses to develop us. Because God understands that pain is part of the process. And when we understand this, we become unshakable in life. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, we also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. That's a very, very powerful, potent scripture. You can stand this evening. We also have to understand that sometimes growth is often faster and deeper during our darkest days. There are times I look back over my life and some of the biggest struggles I've had in my life. Times that I struggled to see where God was in it. Times I was angry, frustrated. I look back and it amazes me, if we stay faithful, if we trust God, that we will find out that it was in those times that we had a growth spurt. Many people over the years have shared with me how they grew more through unemployment. I lost my job, but I had no idea that I trusted in my job so much. An illness, a tragedy. They would never have experienced if life would have been so easy. Because God isn't interested in making life easy for us here on earth. He's interested in growing our character. And character, our integrity, is the only thing that we're going to take to heaven. You have to understand something. Right now, we're still in school, Brother Thompson. We're still in the learning process. And God says that there are eternal rewards coming. And he's going to perfect us if we allow him to perfect us. Until then, we can hope in God's promise to work in us and give us the strength and the grace we need to walk through every trial. You see, we can trust in a hope that never disappoints, knowing that God can even use all the bad things that are happening in our life to refine us, to direct us, correct us, and perfect us, each and every one of us. And church, this is the tough side of faith. The tough side of faith. As our praise team begins to sing tonight, I just want to open up this altar as an opportunity for us to come down and have that conversation with God.
Give me faith.
Say, God,
to trust what you say. That your
help me, Lord, to learn to love your correction.
Your love is great.
Correction means you're concerned about my life.
I give you my
God bless you.
Life.